How are you doing, man?
Good, man. It's been busy to say the least, but all good stuff. So, yeah, just enjoying the family, trying to find that life balance, and yeah, just taking it one day at a time.
Yeah, didn't you just recently have another kid like a year ago or a little less than a year ago?
Yeah, she's gonna be one in about 2.5 weeks.
That's amazing. So how many kids do you have right now?
Three. So we've got
Oh.
almost 6-year-old, and then a 3-year-old, and then almost 1-year-old. So we're in the thick of it right
Oh
now. My wife's
my
trying to, yeah, my wife's doing her the best she can right now to corral all three of them, keep them quiet so I can do this.
I love it, man. I love it. I want to say, dude, I appreciate you jumping on. I told you, I think a long time ago, I'm just like super impressed by what you and your brother have done. And I kind of stopped doing the podcast for a little bit just because of other reasons. And I was like kind of in this phase where I started seeing other people's stuff online and all this, and I'm like, man, I got to get Chris on the podcast because your journey is it's pretty amazing, man, to say the least. And I had to kind of you're one of the very few people that I had to actually like write down some things to ask you just because I always go off the cuff, but I feel like you had such a crazy transition that I'd love to just kind of get into it and dive in into what you're doing now, what you did before, wherever you want to start. You want to do an introduction of yourself. I'll let you kind of kick it off, my man.
Sounds good. And I really appreciate you the invite coming on. I know we've had a number of conversations online and been able to connect over the last couple of years as I've jumped into the social media space. But it's always great to be able to connect with like-minded people like yourself. And yeah, excited to hear all about what you've got going on here as well. But yeah, I guess a little bit about me. I just grew up in small Midwestern town in Wisconsin, and very, very involved with my brothers in sports, and kind of got into the track and field basketball scene. And then that kind of led my interest in physical therapy. And so I continued into the physical therapy world from there. And long story short, never was really all that. I just didn't really think like formal education made a lot of sense, but never really was given a clear path to do anything else. And so had a lot of colleagues who were super, super excited about the process and things that they were doing, and the formal education route. And for me, it was just kind of like something I had to do. And it didn't really add up. Had a lot of questions throughout, and put myself in a position where I was excited to help people. And I think that's really what got me through, was the desire to serve others and to try to help them with their injuries. And then I got to, traditional healthcare and just recognized that the system is completely broken, and I had a ton of student debt, so that created a ton of anxiety and stress, obviously, with trying to raise a young family at the same time. And so, COVID for me then really created an opportunity for me to take a step back and realize I just wanted something different. And so my brother and I, who was also I'm the oldest, he's the youngest, and there's a couple other brothers sandwiched in between us. And so we just started having a lot of conversations. He was going through a similar battle with being in physical therapy and just recognizing like none of this stuff makes any sense. And so we just decided to start connecting and putting out some content online and meeting people like yourself. And one thing kind of led to another, and we recognized, what if we got on the front side of this and started serving guys on a preventative health standpoint? Because that's obviously doesn't really fit big food, big pharma, big healthcare's way. And there's a desire for that right now more than ever, because people are recognizing the fractures in the system. And so yeah, we just spent the last 2 years building out Brother to Brother and serving as many people as we can, and trying to get quality, content out that provides value and hopefully, helps some people along the way. And yeah, I'll be honest, I don't like talking about myself very much, so this is a little bit out of my comfort zone. I guess I'll stop there.
No, that's beautiful, man. I love how you summarize that. And yeah, I think it's just refreshing to hear people going the kind of the traditional route. And because I was in a similar place with whatever I'm doing. And you just kind of get to this point, you're like, this is just not for me. Like, this is not what I want to do. And there's this, like, almost this, like, moment that happens. And whether you might agree or whatever, but it's like, you get to a point where it's like, I can either keep going and being miserable and not feeling like I'm doing anything, or I can simply just turn everything off and do my own thing. And if that doesn't work, at least I gave it a try. And majority of the time, I feel like when people do that sort of that hard break and they give themselves the space to do what you're doing right now, you actually end up finding way more success and passion and fulfillment in that, you know, in whatever you're doing than to follow something that has been, you know, like you said, broken for so many years.
I don't have a whole lot else to add there. I think that's very well said. My dad always used to, he coached a lot of our basketball growing up, and he always said, shoot your shot, you know, shoot or shoot. And you just gotta get out there and keep shooting. And that's kind of how I feel about this whole process. Is there was a long stretch where I pretty much just held the ball and was afraid to actually take the risk that was necessary to, you know, change my life. And you're right. There was a level of stress and frustration and honestly anger for a number of years, because I just like felt trapped, and none of that really changed until I really bet on myself and was willing to kind of leave some of those self-limiting beliefs behind.
And I want to know, tell me a little bit about how your response or your wife's response and kind of your internal response was to, you know, you're raising a family. And I think like sometimes people feel even a little bit more stuck when they are in that environment where you're like, okay, I have a family to feed. I have to, you know, I have to put food on the table, but if I'm not happy, then it's kind of resembles like what I'm going to be doing in my family life. And it just becomes this very sort of sticky situation. Like how was that conversation with your wife, and how was it mentally for you to take that leap knowing that you had to do what you had to do, you know, for your family?
Sure. Yeah. And I guess my situation was a little bit different in the sense that we had started this small podcast as well about a little over 2 years ago now. And that was kind of how we started just connecting with people. And I was still working at that time. And that started to open up some doors, and we started to recognize, you know, I think there's an opportunity here if we just go for it. And again, going back to the COVID stuff, was pretty outspoken about a number of things, and was put in a situation where almost lost my job a few months before. And because I wouldn't move forward with some of the mandates and things that were being put in place, and ultimately was able to continue working for a few more months. And then again, there's a lot of things kind of culminated with me then actually losing my job. I guess it would be a year and a half ago, or a little over a year and a half ago. And I looked at it as a terrifying experience, but within, I would say, 30 minutes of the whole thing kind of falling apart, I was like, here's my shot. Like, I don't have a safety net. And I think that's honestly what fired me up the most, because when you have kind of that golden handcuff of consistent income and safety, you're never really put in a position where you just have to figure it out. And I think I needed that to be able to actually, you know, really pour everything I had into it, versus it being, you know, there's nothing wrong with things starting as a side hustle, which I guess is really kind of where we started. But I kind of needed that push. And that took away some of the shock of taking on the risk. It was like, well, here I am. Like, this is what I've always wanted to do. This is where I feel like I'm being called to go. So now I'm just going to go for it and see what happens from there.
Dude, that's amazing. And I feel like it's the inevitable. You're pinned up against the wall and you're just like, well, now I get to kick it into gear of what I really want to do. And I love that, because there's a lot of people that will crumble under those circumstances. And then there's just people who just skyrocket. And I just love here. I mean, listen, both will happen, but I feel like the the people that end up crumbling majority of the time is just because they don't even give it an effort. It's not because they're doing anything wrong. It's just that they simply kind of break themselves down rather than just like you said, it took you 30 minutes to be like, all right, well, we're fucking doing this. Like, we're going to go for this type of thing. And let me ask you, was it hard to get your brother on board, or how was his situation in terms of kind of you guys coming together in this, you know, in this endeavor that you guys have set out to do?
Yeah, not really, to be honest. I mean, we're very, very aligned. We don't generally like authority very much either, which is probably what led us to this position. And so, you know, it was one of those situations where it was like, if we can help people the way we want to help people, we can build a lifestyle the way that we want to, you know, be able to support our families and have that freedom of time that we're really searching for, then it was just a matter of, okay, how do we actually provide a quality service, and what all goes into that to be able to justify, you know, what we're trying to accomplish here. So that didn't take a lot of convincing. And I think, you know, it was a situation too, where I was forced into it, he was not. So we were able to kind of take it a little bit slow, where he could continue to work a little bit while I was kind of fully committed, and he was still continuing to put out, you know, similar content and things like that. But I was able to front load a lot more of the heavy lifting early on. And then when we reached a point where it was like, okay, we need two people in this full time, then it was like, okay, like, I think in his mind, he was probably like, I've been waiting for this moment, and now, you know, we're finally ready to, like, that I don't have to deal with this anymore either. So yeah, didn't really take a whole lot of convincing, to be honest. I think I lost your audio.
Oh, sorry, I had it on mute because I didn't want to there we go. I was asking, tell me a little bit about your process about what happens when somebody comes to you and says, "Hey, Chris, I need help. Like, I don't feel great. I want to lose weight. I want to do all these things." Kind of take me through that process of what that looks like for somebody. And even if you want to share like a success story or a case study that you guys have done with somebody that, you know, has gotten results, or even share maybe some of the ones where people don't get the results because they just didn't put the effort into it, or however you want to take it, I'll let you kind of decide, but I'd love to know what that looks like, because, I'm assuming a lot of it you guys are doing virtually. Is that right?
It is. Yeah. It's one of those things. That's the beauty of the internet, is we're working with guys all over the world in most cases. And it's a situation too, where we can stay tapped into people day in and day out, and it doesn't really matter where they are. We still can provide that accountability. And even with the group structure, you know, getting like-minded guys together is really powerful too, where, you know, there's just, to be frank, there's a lot of guys that are just very isolated right now. You know, we're pouring all of our time into work. We're pouring all of our time into family, and we don't really have that tribe. So having that tribe mentality, either with Brett and I, or, you know, obviously with the other guys in the group, is a pretty powerful thing. But I guess as far as, you know, how we go about the process, it's, I think, initially about, let's identify that low hanging fruit. Because if, I think what most people do, I always use the example of, you know, New Year's resolutions, is we finish up the holidays when we eat horribly, we're probably not exercising at all, and then we overcommit on these New Year's resolutions of, I'm going to get to the gym 5 days a week, and I'm going to change my diet, and I'm going to, you know, commit to going to bed earlier. And it's like, we're just like stacking so many things up against us that we're just not going to be able to necessarily live up to. And so then we put ourselves in a position where, even if we're doing 60% of that right, there's 40% of the things we told ourselves that we're going to do that we're not doing. And that just kind of puts us in a position where we feel like we're failing. So trying to find those early small wins, typically we start on the diet side, because that's where we're going to make most of the progress. So, you know, dialing in those first two meals. And it's like, if you can do that, you know, those are generally the two meals that guys have the most control over. There's not really social events at 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning. You know, you're not dealing with drinks after work. You're not dealing with kids events, stuff like that. So get it right with those first two meals, take all the guesswork out, and, you know, a lot of the decision fatigue that goes along with those first two meals, you just take it out. And it's like, even if I don't get any dinners right, 2/3 of my meals are locked in right away. And that's usually a big step in the right direction immediately. You know, we talk about, you know, goals that we're trying to hit with each of those meals. But the biggest thing is just, it's slowly building the system. And once you can start seeing that system start to create some momentum for you, then, okay, weaning yourself back slightly on alcohol, or, you know, getting into the gym a couple times, you know, doing two or three home workouts a week for 30 minutes, you know, it doesn't become insurmountable because you have the energy, blood sugar stable, and you're seeing that, like, man, all I did was change my nutrition for a couple meals and I'm seeing results. What else can I get? So you get addicted to that. You get addicted to the progress, and that puts you in a position where, again, it's sustainable. You're not biting off more than you could chew, you know, part of my pun there, but yeah, it just puts you in a position where you're able to sustain and brick by brick, just revamp that lifestyle without it completely, you know, having to shift drastically with family and with work.
That's amazing. And how long is the kind of the time from the time somebody starts to the point where, you know, you guys kind of say, okay, now you're basically on your own and you got to just maintain and do that whole thing. What does that process look like for you guys as people get into your program?
Sure. Yeah. So, and obviously everybody's goal is a little bit different. So, you know, we try to take a very sustainable approach to this. Some guys are looking to lose, you know, 50, 60, 100 pounds in some cases. So in that case, you know, it's typically over 6 months. We're setting them up for sustainable weight loss. And, you know, we're not going to lose 100 pounds in 6 months, or at least if we're not going to aim for that. That's definitely not going to be a goal, because I don't look at that as being a sustainable number. So, you know, putting them on a position where we can make the most of it and they can be set up for success. And in some cases, you know, we have guys continue with us for another 6 months or whatever it might be. Other guys, you know, maybe they're looking to lose 25 pounds or so. We typically see guys able to accomplish that over the course of, say, like 4 months or so. And that's done pretty sustainably as well. And then it's really important to, they feel good, but they're still in a calorie deficit. We don't need to be in a calorie deficit forever. So using those last couple months, once they've hit their goal, they've leaned down, they've added some strength, added some muscle, where, okay, what can we do now to maintain this? And we talk about, you know, the appropriate ways to add those calories back in. Or in some cases, guys have leaned down and they're like, I really want to see, like, how can I almost go into now a calorie surplus now that I'm leaned down and start to add as much muscle as possible. So, you know, we kind of take a step back, have a conversation with them about what their goals are going to look like once they hit that, you know, that target number, so to speak, and then shift it to more of a sustainable model with increasing calories and finding the best ways to be able to add those calories in while allowing them to, you know, enjoy cake at birthday parties and pizza night with the family and all that kind of stuff. So it's the idea is that this isn't a diet, this is a lifestyle. And once you kind of know what that looks like, then when you go out to dinner with your wife or whatever that might be, it's almost like ingrained in your brain of like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be looking for. This is, I know how to hit specific goals with every meal because I've been doing it for the last, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 months, and I don't have to think about it anymore. And without going off on too much of a tangent, that's why I don't like calorie counting very much. I don't want to do it personally, and I feel like I'm very health conscious. I don't think the average person has the bandwidth to just, even if it's 10, I see guys all the time talk about it's only 10 or 15 minutes of your day. Some guys don't have 10 or 15 minutes of their day that they can focus enough to put that stuff in. It just becomes one more task. So we want to try to put that on autopilot for guys as much as we can.
Dude, I absolutely love this approach from absolutely every angle, just because it's, I think you used the word sustainable quite a few times and creating a lifestyle, because I'll give you a quick example. So about 10 months ago, I was about 225 roughly. And, you know, I'm a little bit taller, so I don't have like a little gut hanging over or anything like that, but you just don't feel, you know, great. You don't feel this sense of like, man, I got all this. And I'm a very high energy person when it comes to things, but you still feel a little bit of that morning slog, or at night, you just want to kind of like not do anything. And so, and I had some kind of like mental health stuff going on with my business and all these other things. I don't know, one day I was just like, I need to kick things into gear. And I've been an athlete my entire life. And so I started doing a lot of calisthenics. I started doing a lot of yoga. I started doing a lot of lifting. I started doing all of these things. And man, what you said earlier, you know, people get to that point 3 or 4 months. It's very hard once you get to that point to, when you feel that energy, you feel that, you know, you look, even just looking in the mirror and being like, man, I, even if you lose 5 pounds, you almost tend to see it a little bit more than if you lose anything else. And you just feel like that, man, going backwards now and adding that weight just because I want to eat an extra 2-3 pieces of cake, or I want to have pizza night or whatever else it is. Like, it doesn't even feel good to do that anymore. Not saying you shouldn't, but it feels like, man, all this hard work I've put in, like, do I really want to go have a burger from like In-N-Out or something right now? I probably don't. And so it's just one of these things where I feel like it's those people that get to that point where they feel better, it's very hard to go back the other way. And then I think the sustainable, like, hey, I need to just continue doing this. And I just, even if I put in 30 minutes every single day, I just need that feeling. It's like that extra dopamine rush that we're chasing on so many different angles as humans now, especially with social media and all these other things. But when you get it in like the health aspect of your life, it's such a bigger ripple effect across everything you're doing, the way you're eating, the way you're sleeping, the way all of these other things. And I speak for myself, like it's amazing. I've lost like 30 pounds in about 10 months at this point. And in that, building strength and doing all these other things is just like a life-changing thing, where I literally look at people next to me in my yoga class who are in their 70s and they can lift their leg above there and they're super lean and all this. I'm like, that's inspiration right there. Like, that right there is, this is a lifestyle at this point. And so it's just really, really inspiring to be in that space.
Congrats, brother. That's quite the transformation you've made here over the last, you know, almost a year now, but that's fantastic. Yeah. I did not know that. I had no idea that you went through, you know, the increased stress and anxiety. And I'm sure even on the mental health side of things, it's been a complete game changer for you, that you have that outlet, you feel better, high energy. And that's amazing. And, you know, the piece that you kind of mentioned earlier about, it has that ripple effect. That's, you know, it's not just even individually, it has a ripple effect with the families and colleagues and, you know, coworkers and all that. And what I've found is that it almost becomes like, I always complained, you know, years ago, where I was like, you know, I had a hard time connecting with like-minded guys and things like that. And I talked about how, like, oh, it's, you know, I just kind of a woe is me, so to speak, where like, you're just like, it's hard for me to relate to all this stuff, when in reality, it was me, it was a me problem. And when you start to like make change and you start to pour into yourself, I think those people start to like come into your life on its own. You don't, you know, again, you and I having this conversation right now, like those things don't happen until you start working on yourself. And, you know, it just tends to draw the right people into your life, and you just attract those people from there. So that's, yeah, amazing transformation.
Thank you. Thank you, man. I appreciate it. And, you know, it's a lot of hard work, and I never, you know, I understood a few things from being, like I said, I played soccer for 20 plus years of my life. I, you know, just always been doing some sort of athletic exercise, but it's one of these things where I knew two things. Diet is like 90% of the battle. So if you just stop eating shit food, you're going to lose weight, even if you don't go to the gym. And number two is like, when you get to a certain point and you realize that, I feel like when you really connect with yourself and you listen to your body and you're like, when you need that day of rest, you take that day of rest. But when you need to go hard, go fucking hard. When you realize that and you find yourself in that mindset, then you just feel like every like wall that people put around you, just like, no, I know what I can do. You just get to know yourself. And like you said, pouring that energy back into yourself. I mean, my relationship with my fiance, my relationship with my family, my relationship with my friends, it just like, it's one of these unknowns that you can't explain to people until they're in that space. You can go in and make these promises to people, you're going to feel better, your family, this and that. They're just going to be like, but yeah, but I don't, that's not something like tangible that I can see. And I feel like when you actually in that space and you give yourself that time, and you start to see, you're like, oh, this is what people have been talking about for this entire time. So yeah, man, I completely agree with that. And I just think, I think everyone just needs to give themselves at least 30 to 45 minutes every day of hard exercise. And I feel like everything else, it trickles in from that, and building that consistency in one part of your life. I talk about consistency a lot because it's changed my life in so many ways, but consistency, I feel like, is the number one thing that people can change in their life, that they have the power to change. And that trickles into every aspect of your life, that it becomes hard to not be consistent anymore.
Yeah, man. I mean, you create that situation where you're not relying on motivation anymore. And I think that's huge, is you've got to kind of hit that. You got to bust through that motivation wall where, like, every day you've got to pick yourself up to be able to drag yourself to the gym or to cook a quality meal. Eventually it just becomes part of who you are. And you just, I think you mentioned this earlier, you can't imagine really living any other way. Like the idea of, you know, you see the negative consequences when you don't sleep and eat poorly and all that. But once you get that flywheel effect in place and you're feeling good day after day because of the inputs that you're putting in, then, you know, having three or four beers makes you feel horrible. And you're like, it has this ability to, like, you just recognize, like, I don't really want this. Like, I recognize a clear distinction between my energy level yesterday and how I feel today. And the only thing that's different is, you know, I put a bunch of garbage in my body. And so I'm just not going to do that. And, you know, I've seen that even in my life now where, like, and maybe you just become a little bit more sensitive to it, but even like a single drink now, I notice a difference. Like the next day, I'm just not myself. And it's made it easier and easier for me to just, like, distance myself from alcohol and, you know, bad food and things like that. But we just have to give ourselves enough runway to get to that point so we can see the difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. What is, for in terms of, like, food, when you kind of run into some of the case studies that you guys have and the people that you guys are helping out, what would you say is the number one thing you're recommending people do? And I understand people eat a lot of junk food and all these other things, but, like, what is the one thing you're like, hey, you know, eggs in the morning, fucking steak, whatever else it is, like, get your protein, get all these other things. Like, is there something that you guys kind of share with everybody that comes through that door and be like, these are the things you need to incorporate, whatever else you're doing, this is the chunk of food that needs to be part of your, you know, daily lifestyle type of thing?
Yeah, I mean, we don't necessarily have, like, a set, this is the meal you need to be eating. It's more so, what do you like to eat? How can we hit some specific goals? Well, the big goal for us is we're going to hit 30 grams of protein with every meal. It doesn't matter male or female. That's the number as our floor. Now, obviously, there's advantages in many cases of going above that. But, you know, you talk to a lot of these guys and they're only eating 40, 50, maybe 60 grams of protein all day long. And they just feel horrible. And, you know, in some cases, they're going to the gym three or four times a week and they're not seeing any progress because they're tearing down their muscle and they don't even have the resources on board to be able to improve from there. I mean, it's sad, but we've created this environment for ourselves because, you know, we're getting recommendations on protein every, you know, from the government agencies of you only need 50 grams of protein a day. And that's just nonsense. Like it's just complete bullshit. Like you can function at that level, but you're not going to be optimally producing hormones. You're not going to be repairing tissue. You're not going to be putting yourself in a position where, you know, you can live your best life eating 50 grams of protein a day. And so, you know, then it's a matter of where are we getting those sources from as well? So, you know, peanut butter and nuts and beans, they're not going to do the trick. Are they going to give you some protein? Sure. But you're just like racking up the calories on those things. So it's quality proteins. And then it's establishing foods that are going to put us in a really good position when it comes to like a protein to calorie ratio, because it just allows us to eat more food. And if we can eat more food and get more protein on while we're still in a calorie deficit, then that's a home run at that point, because you're full. Your body's not telling you that it needs to eat again, because that, you know, that protein is going to digest slower. So you get some nice long satiation. You're not spiking blood sugar with the standard American diet. And so all of a sudden now insulin sensitivity improves. The body wants to burn a little bit more fat. And I think those are the two biggest things is the increased protein, 30 grams at each meal. And then I guess I'll add one more, taking control of more of your calories. So, you know, if we're eating out 4, 5, 6 times a week, it's really hard to, even if you're ordering good quality foods, you have no idea what that stuff's cooked in as far as oils. You could be eating, you know, an extra 1,000, 1,500 calories every single week that you aren't even aware of just because they're using 2, 3, 4 tablespoons of oil on a chicken breast that has you know, 300 calories by itself, but there's more oil calories than there are chicken breast calories. So things like that, that just, it just allows us to take more control of calories and put ourselves in a good position week after week.
I love it. I love it. What is your personal go-to meat source when it comes to protein?
Man, that's a good question. I eat a little bit of everything. I mean, I definitely love ground beef. We have a local farmer that we get a full cow from every single year. And so tons of beef, do a lot of easy pot roast and things like that. Certainly, you know, I'm not going to argue with a steak. So that's a pretty consistent part of our diet. But, you know, if I'm in a situation where I'm looking to lose some weight, you know, things like shrimp, things like chicken, obviously is great. I'm a huge fan of Greek yogurt. I think Greek yogurt is the ultimate food because it's so simple. You can throw something quality together in 2 minutes and, you know, it can be a breakfast, lunch, dinner, or dessert option. And just kind of fill a gap at just about any time. So I know that's not necessarily a meat, but probably my favorite source of protein is Greek yogurt if I had to choose.
I love it. I love it. Have you, do you eat elk or bison or anything like that?
I don't. I mean, I like all those things, but it's not something that I keep regularly, mainly just from an access standpoint where we live.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense. That makes sense. All right. I want to shift gears because I just took a look at your pictures behind you. Lead me through the process of what made you do the Ironman 10 times and go through that process, because that seems like that most people in this lifetime are not going to get to. And obviously you can give me some of your highlights, but what was that mindset like to go through that 10 times?
Sure. Well, I think, you know, my intro was, I would say, you know, 20-year-old stupidity is the best way I can describe it, where I had a good friend of mine who we were running track and field together in college. And he had a friend who was doing Ironman Wisconsin. And he was just like, you know, I think he wants to do Ironman Kentucky next year. I think we should do it with him. And, you know, naive 20-year-olds, I was like, we already have the running part down. How hard can it be to swim? How hard can it be to bike? And we just decided to sign up and go for it and put a lot of time and energy in it. I was lucky that I had about 6 months between undergrad and grad school with pretty much nothing to do but train and do a little bit of work at night. And so we just trained all day and was fortunate to go to Ironman Kentucky. And I qualified to head out to the World Championships in Kona. And at that point, I was hooked. I went out there, had no intentions of making it, just happened to have a lot of things go right. I think, again, a lot of naive, dumb luck, to be honest with you. But when I got out there, I was hooked. I mean, it's a special place where, you know, pretty much the entire island shuts down for that race for the entire week. And there's not too many sports where you can take, you know, age group athletes and be having conversations with the top pros in the world. And so it was pretty amazing to say the least. And obviously you're in Hawaii. So it's just, as a 20-year-old kid, you're pretty much in awe at that point. And, you know, after that, I trained almost all the way through, grad school and, raced once or twice in grad school. And then came out of grad school really kind of fully committed to it for a few years. And it's funny. It was an experience that I'll never change, but it taught me a lot about myself and probably put me in a position to then make the change now, where, you know, there's a lot of mental toughness, as you can imagine, that you develop through that, and resiliency and just understanding that things aren't always going to go right for you in life or on the course. And you just have to figure it out one way or the other, while keeping yourself, you know, level-headed and putting yourself in a position to just kind of keep taking one step at a time. But I guess, like, I think eventually it led to, this is too much of who I am. And my identity was really in Ironman. And when my wife and I got married, I just realized, like, I don't want this to be, you know, who I am for my wife, who I am for my kids. And, you know, so I actually have taken a step back from it here for a few years and just kind of refocused, obviously, on other things. But, you know, long story short, it did leave a gap for me. There was definitely a big hole that needed to be filled. And, you know, I think that that probably created some of the stress, anxiety, and it allowed me to just kind of see healthcare, see the world for what it was, because I just felt like none of this stuff was making any sense. And I didn't necessarily come to that realization while I was racing because I had an outlet. And when that outlet was all of a sudden no longer there, then it was like, I can't keep doing this. So I've got to find a way to keep building, whether that's, you know, personally, professionally, like there needs to be some kind of build happening all the time, or I'm just going to go crazy here.
Yeah. Yeah. Really, really impressive. And I feel like, you ask anybody that's, you know, even potentially think about that, they see it like the biggest project of their life. And for you to do it as many times as you've done it is absolutely impressive. So I just want to, because this is the first time we actually get to chat, I want to say, like, huge props to you, man. That's a hell of an accomplishment. And I think the follow-up question to that is, do you feel like now what you and your brother are doing and helping other people and just building the online presence that you've been able to build for yourself and for your business, do you think that the Ironman competitions have given you a different level of credibility for people to actually trust you through the process of how you're, you know, helping structure their life a little bit more with the diet, with the exercise and different things like that? Like, do you think at the end that was even potentially more of an upside for you than even going into like the healthcare system at this point?
It's a good question. I do think it provides some level of authority. There's no question about that. Just based on, like you said, the discipline that it takes to build towards those races. I'd like to think that there's kind of a balance between, you know, being a father of three young kids, having the Ironman experience, and having the clinical background that I do. It's hard to say. Talking with some of the guys when we reach out about connecting. Kind of what draws people in. It seems to be pretty balanced. So I think it depends on the individual, but I'm sure there's again some level of credibility from that. Again, it's not something that we necessarily talk about a whole lot or whatever. It's just sort of a situation where some things are going to resonate with certain guys and other things are going to resonate with others based on, you know, like I said, the clinical stuff, the dads. I think the dad side of it's where I think I'm the most proud of is just being able to like balance health, balance my family, and balance my career. Like that's really one of my primary goals, because ultimately like my kids are, you know, one of my top priorities, like even above the business, above, you know, my health I take care of my health. I take care of the business for my family. I don't do it, you know, if that makes any sense. It's not, they're not my excuse. They're my reason. They're my why. So I think that's probably the biggest thing for me, and something that I really try to strive to focus on is the dad side more than anything else.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that. They're the reason. They're not just, yeah, absolutely, man. Tell me a little bit about you jumping in from, you know, obviously being in the healthcare side of the world and then shifting over into, you know, using basically what I assume is like, you know, your main channel to drive your business is like social media. I mean, you've grown an amazing following. You have a lot of support. Your brother's done the same thing. Like, what was that transition like for you? What were kind of some of the fears and I guess some of the, you know, wins that you got really early on that you were like, oh, I can actually do this. And you know, I don't know what your background is in terms of like writing, but, you know, being able to distill ideas and put them up and share with people and all these other things. Walk me through that a little bit, like kind of the early days of, you know, because I feel like you and I met in a very we met in a growth like group for like the social media side, but I feel like you had this amazing jump off point where the information you were sharing was, I mean, it touched a lot of people with, like, you know, the type of foods and what the industry, and you can talk about, like, hey, this system is broken because I was in it. You had this real credibility. And then, like I said, the Iron Man thing and all these other things, like, you had so many things to back up your statements, to back up your words and all this other stuff. Like, what was that transition like for you and for your brother, I guess, if, you know, whatever you know about his kind of mental state at that point? It's like, how was that transition to get your, you know, to focus solely on building like an internet business at this
point? Yeah, I mean, I would honestly say that there were more failures than there were wins for a long time, to be frank. Like, it felt like for a long time you were just putting information into the abyss. And you know, we didn't really know what we were doing. We really hadn't taken the time to learn the space either, you know, trying to get around people who had been doing it for a while and had some level of success. We were just trying to figure it out ourselves. And I do think it was important, because we had to figure out if this was really a space that we wanted to be in long term. And, you know, I think you can learn a lot just by getting your ideas out there, even if nobody's really looking at it. I think there's a lot to be said for just, you know, people get kind of that analysis or this paralysis by analysis because they're afraid to tweet something. They're afraid to put their ideas out there. And at the end of the day, most of the time at the very beginning, nobody's seeing your content anyways. So it really just gives you an opportunity to get better at your craft and spend some time writing, spend some time reflecting. And you're not necessarily going to get feedback on what's good and what's bad right away, but you could argue that's a positive thing, because you don't get any, you're not going to get a lot of negative reinforcement when nobody's really seeing your content. And as you get more comfortable putting stuff out and you kind of refine your process, then you can start, you know, really trying to, I think connecting with people is really important, because some people there are steps ahead of you. And so if you have people who've done it, who had some level of success with it, even if they're just one step ahead of you, they've learned something that can probably help you in the process. And then from there, you can figure out, you know, what you actually want to do with it. You know, the whole idea of like a niche, I don't really care for. I mean, I guess we're in the health niche, but like, I like talking about fatherhood. I like talking about, you know, some of the other things that I've experienced day in and day out. And it's not always, this is about nutrition, this is about exercise. Show your personality. I think people really, really like to see that. And so that was something I learned early on, is you don't need to be a robot on here. The best people on this, on any social media platform, have a personality, and they're not afraid to talk about things that don't necessarily always fit their niche. Because that's really how you make fans and you create followers who really care about what you have to say. But yeah, as far as kind of the rest of the process, it really took off for us when we started to have more and more of those connections, more and more of those like-minded people around us, because then it was like on a daily, every single day, we were just getting feedback on what works, what doesn't work. And that was also about the same time when we started to get some level of engagement. So you could test some different things. One thing that I still remember is how much time I put into writing a thread, and you'd spend all this time writing it, and then you'd write a crappy hook, and you realize, like, if the hook's horrible, nobody's reading it. You can put all that energy into it, but nobody's reading it. So then it was like, you know, when you get feedback from people, they're like, dude, you got to spend as much time, or if not more time, writing your hook as you do the whole rest of the thread. Like, that was a game changer, because then you could figure out what types of hooks work, how to be able to just make that something worth reading and provide enough reason for those people to read it, as opposed to the opposite, where you're kind of writing a novel on the backside, but the title sucks. So that was something that was really, really helpful for us early on. I guess I'll pause there.
No, that's awesome. And I think we all went through that sort of learning stage about, you know, the non-writers learning to be like what writing, how writing can affect other people, and what you have to do to get that sort of initial spark and an initial engagement and initial, like, you know, when you post something and you think nobody's listening, then you get that DM and they're like, dude, what you just said there, like, changed everything for me, gave me a new perspective on what I'm doing. And I've been head down doing this. And, you know, so I think that's really, really awesome. And I feel like with experience, with everything that you've been through and your brother, I feel like there's a lot more that you guys will be sharing and could share. And I think it's just sometimes like finding the time of day to like write all this stuff down. So did you ever, are you guys going to be experimenting sort of with like more like video stuff at all? Like what's kind of the next phase of this, you know, growth? Because there's a lot of things have changed on the social media aspect of things. There's been a lot of changes with, you know, Twitter being X and then this whole like new wave of like content that's getting distributed and how it's getting distributed. What's kind of the next phase for you guys, or have you guys been thinking about that at all?
Yeah. So I think one of the things is we recognize that we don't have control over social media platforms, and even really, really quality content, the same content isn't always going to catch eyeballs. And that's unfortunate because it puts you in a situation where you can never really find a sustainable approach to this. And so, you know, for us, a big piece of it is we've been putting out a really quality newsletter a couple times a week, all the way back about 7 or 8 months now. And, you know, in the health space, something I'm not afraid to brag about is I do think it's one of the better newsletters out there. You know, we there's a lot of time and energy. They're pretty in depth. They're pretty high value. And there's a lot of practical pieces in it versus, you know, walk 10,000 steps and eat more protein. Like there's just, we get into some topics because I think we can unpack some topics at a deeper level than what, you know, again, the average person in the health space can do. And so we're really focused on building that list. And because once we have that email list, then we can touch people on a daily or a couple times a week. You know, we don't have to worry about what the algorithm's doing. We don't have to worry about is video content or long form or threads. What's working well? What's working? What's not working well anymore? Is once we have the newsletter, we know that the open rates are really, really good. And we know that the value is there. And so then we can just continue to write quality content and ensure that it's getting to the right people and that those people are going to be able to apply it, hopefully share it with friends and family. And, you know, at that point, just be in a position where we can help it. We can help a lot more people in our newsletter than we can doing, you know, group coaching. Let's be honest. We're not going to be able to do group coaching with a high percentage of the people that we engage with or interact with every day. But there's a lot more people that can read that newsletter and get our content consistently and then be able to apply it to their lives. So we see it as kind of the biggest lever to be able to impact the most people. And so that's kind of the driving force right now is, you know, let's maximize the platforms as best we can, but get as many people to that newsletter so we can share that content with them consistently and take it from there.
I love it. Can you share any numbers in terms of how many subscribers you guys have on your newsletter at the moment? If you don't want to share that.
No, we're getting close to 6,000 right now. So we had no idea really what we were doing with it early on in terms of trying to get people to, it's not easy right now, especially on Twitter, to showcase your newsletter. It's something the algorithm mm-hmm. doesn't really like. So we kind of had to figure that out a little bit. And so it's growing consistently, but you know, it's one of those things where our open rate, which people may not necessarily know kind of what those metrics mean, but it's almost 60%. And, you know, the average newsletter is like 15-20%. So we feel pretty strongly that, you know, the people that are getting it are opening it and they're reading it. And so, you know, those have been holding pretty steady now for the past several months. And so we're just going to keep kind of pouring all of our eggs into that basket right now and trying to just keep providing quality value there.
I love it. And just to touch on this just for another moment is what does it look like from a business perspective? I mean, you know, growing a newsletter is one thing and offering information is one thing. Do you now start to look at that as like another portion of like revenue where you may be inviting some sponsors because you have such a focused and you have a lot of data in terms of the people that you're working with and everything that you're doing? Do you start to kind of look to monetize pieces of that where people can, you know, go in and maybe sponsor some sort of product that you actually use and stuff that you're like, hey, we eat this special, like, you know, protein powder or like whatever that might be. It doesn't matter, a supplement or a brand of food or something like that. Do you guys kind of think about that model a little bit now too, since you're growing your subscribers? If you tell me you guys are 7 months in, you got 6,000 subscribers, that's a pretty good trajectory in terms of where you can be in the next 7 months.
Yeah, I think we started to have those conversations. To be honest with you, we try not to distract ourselves with some of those things early on. We've always been kind of committed to playing the long game with this when it comes to Twitter, when it comes to, you know, the group coaching stuff, the newsletter. I think those are opportunities that will kind of present themselves and we'll probably explore here, you know, in the months or years ahead. But yeah, it's one of those things where, full transparency, Brett and I come from healthcare. We don't come from business. So we're learning a lot every single day. You know, we learned about writing, we learned about marketing, sales. There's just so many things that we don't know. And, you know, being able to just get feedback from people and again, people who've done it successfully in the past, I think it kind of opens the door to some of those opportunities, but not something that at this point we've really explored a whole lot, to be honest. But one of those things that, is certainly a possibility going forward.
Love it, man. Love it. I think that there's a lot to that. And, the dedication, I think people will always share that kind of stuff when you put, you know, when they notice that you're pouring your heart and soul into writing, you know, stuff that actually is more than what you can spend on Twitter and all these other, you know, platforms and different things like that. So that's awesome to see. I guess I'll kind of end it on this. We're coming up on an hour and I don't want to hold you for too long because this has been a very potent and amazing conversation, Chris, and I really appreciate you being on the podcast. And obviously, if there's anything you want to tap into, but what is one kind of recommendation or something that you would share with maybe somebody that's in one of your group coaching calls or anything for somebody out there that might listen to this and you can say, hey, if you're trying to get on this, you know, this path of health and just being a better you and feeling better, what is kind of the one or two tips that you would give somebody to kind of kickstart that? And what are some good maybe tactics to stay consistent or small? Like you said earlier in our conversation, like the low-hanging fruit, you know, not overwhelming, not a list of 30 things you need to change, like doing one by one. What are maybe one or two of those things on that list that you would say, I share this with every single person that walks through our, you know, through our door?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, I guess I'll reemphasize a little bit of what I said earlier. I think a lot of it does start with the consistency with protein. If you're looking to lose weight or even just feel better energy or maximize muscle, is you got to have adequate protein on board. There's no doubt about that. So making it consistent part of your day, trying to find a way where we can eliminate some of those, you know, more mindless snacking that episodes that go in or moments where you just lose all control in the cupboard. You know, I think we've all been there at 3 or 4 o'clock mm-hmm. in the afternoon, dinner's not going to be ready for a couple hours. And we just raid the cupboards. And before we know it, it's like, what just happened? Like, I have no idea right. what I just consumed or how much of it. So it's trying to avoid those like almost subconscious tendencies, because if we can keep blood sugar stable, we can keep ourselves satiated. We can make a lot more conscious decisions throughout the day. So trying to make food something that is something we make a decision on, or we have a system built in, as we talked about earlier, with, you know, those autopilot lunches, those autopilot breakfast options where you dial in those first two meals of the day. That's where I would start, honestly. Those first two meals of the day are huge. And then at that point, like, let's continue to kind of recognize how we can make small changes with dinner. Big fan of just getting out and getting some movement every single day. You know, looking at, you know, it's tough right now. I know these winter months can be a little bit rough on people, but, you know, just being able to stay consistent with movement is going to just naturally curb cravings, keep blood sugar more stable as well. And then I think the last piece would just be recognizing, you touched on this a little bit earlier too, is having some time for self-care. And yes, that could be exercise, but it also could just be time to reflect and take a step back and sort of be with your own thoughts. You know, ideally you're kind of pairing that together with some movement. You know, I like just getting out for a walk for, you know, it could be 20 minutes and just not having headphones, not having your phone with you, just taking a walk in silence and thinking about what you want to accomplish for the day, or just being able to sort through all the noise that tends to bombard us all day long. I think that really goes a long ways, helps us to recognize some of those self-limiting beliefs too. And we start recognizing those things, we can replace those things, so they're not holding us back from making those same mistakes that cause us to fall off the wagon with, you know, whether it's stress, anxiety. Those are, you know, tend to be the things that lead us to overeating, making bad decisions, drinking too much alcohol, all those types of things.
Love it. Love it, man. That's a great message. And yeah, I would agree with all of that. I've cut down myself, like I told you, with my recent journey about losing weight and stuff. I mean, alcohol is, you know, almost nowhere to be found. Like, I'll have a beer here and there. But even then, like you said, you wake up the next morning, and I do my exercises early in the morning. I'm between like 8 and 9:30 in the morning after I woke up. I always go take a walk with my dog first. I come back, I spend some time with my fiance. Then I go out on my workout. I go do a cold plunge. I really like focus that first few hours of the day for myself. And then when I get to my, you know, get to my desk and I want to get some work done, I'm just like, I've done everything that I need to do today. All of this is just extra. And I get to just focus, you know, have my mind in one place rather than thinking about, oh, at 5 o'clock, I have to go extra. Now I have to cut down my day to this time and all this. It's just organizing, structuring, and just that consistency, that routine, I think ends up being your best friend type of thing. So, no, man, I really, really appreciate it. One last thing, tell people where, you know, they can find, your program, your newsletter on Twitter, anything else you want to share where people can kind of get in touch with you. You know, whoever listens to this, if they get inspired to, you know, reach out to you, I'd love to have them know where to go.
Yeah, no, and first of all, I just appreciate you once again inviting me on here. It's been great to connect and chat about a few things, and feel like we're kind of just getting warmed up here. But yeah, for those interested in checking out, you know, the newsletter, kind of learning more about who Brett and I are, kind of what we're all about. Our newsletter is called the Fit Father's Flyer. And something we put out a couple times a week on Tuesdays and Fridays. So that's you can search that on Google, should pop up there for you to subscribe. But we also are pretty active for the most part on Twitter, a couple other platforms, but primarily still Twitter. So I'm at Chris Betcher 9 on there. And then finally, if you're interested in checking out our program, we're at brother2brotheryou.com. And we've got a lot of information on there with guys we previously worked with, and as well as, you know, some of the expectations in our program as far as what our program looks like. So, but yeah, happy to answer any questions. Feel free to always DM me or shoot us an email. And yeah, we'd be happy to answer any or give you guys any feedback on anything. So, but yeah, man, I really appreciate you you reaching out and being able to connect here today. And hopefully we can do it again here sometime.
Yeah, the pleasure is all mine, Chris. I appreciate your time, man, and this was awesome. I just love your guys' approach. I love what you're doing, and I love the transformations I'm seeing. I took a look at your website, and I know what you've been doing. You've been posting a lot of stuff on Twitter, so I just want to say, man, this is we need more people doing this kind of stuff where there's actually a life-changing results and health on a different level other than, you know, scarfing down pills and trying to get a magic pill to lose weight and all this other bullshit that people are selling out there. So I just want to say props to you and your brother for sticking to the plan and pushing it along. And yeah, man, it was truly my pleasure to have you on, and thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thank you. It's been great. And I couldn't echo what you just said more. We definitely need a lot more people in the preventative health space, kind of shining a light in a more positive direction.
Love it. Love it. We'll chat soon.